Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 31st of March, recording at 6:13 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various different asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week. Stock markets, mostly steady. Number of new highs by indices. Government bonds, persistently weak. The U.S. dollar, mixed, starting to show a little bit of weakness against some of the currencies against which it had been strongest recently, such as the New Zealand dollar. And in precious metals, had a banner week, some profit-taking today. Oils, or energy in general, had not such a good, week as the precious metals, but generally firm, but again, some profit-taking in here today. We can say the same for industrial metals as well. So, where are we going from here? Well, first, for reasons previously mentioned that I won't elaborate again, but I feel that the risk of a correction here in the second and third quarters of this year really is at least 50-50. And certainly seasonal characteristics and election cycle characteristics would point to that correction. And the fact that bonds are weak, while favorable in the very short term as money is shifted from fixed interest to equities, is bearish in the medium to longer term. And also oil has perked up here again, despite the softness that we see in here today. It's still over $66 on the NYMEX crude. So it's a time not to be overly aggressive, but I haven't disturbed any of my investment positions, and I don't intend to. My investment positions are doing quite well, and I am struck by a point I mentioned yesterday that we saw this correction in metals earlier on, and I thought we had really begun a medium-term correction in many of the actual metal prices, where they had some very sharp reactions, but those lasted for a little more than a month or two at most, and then we've seen prices push higher once again. And we saw bigger corrections in the shares, particularly in gold shares, but the core investment category, broad mining companies that I like so much, really remain very, very firm overall, although today encountering a little bit of profit-taking from their former highs. So I do think that risk of a correction is higher now than it has been at any time previously. Now, if we don't see that correction, I think it's because of all the liquidity sloshing around in the system and M&A activity, which I regard as an ending signal rather than a launch pad for further advances, can keep things ticking over for a while longer in here, perhaps. But bottom line, no reason to panic, but this is not a time to be overly aggressive. Okay, asset classes. These are going to be very familiar to veterans, but I like the resources sector enormously. There are more comments on that in today's update, in comment of the day. And I think the cycle is going to run and run and run, and yes, it'll be volatile from time to time, but it's a sector that I wish to add to on weakness rather than sell on strength. And if you take a little profit-taking on extreme strength, well, nobody can quarrel with that too much, but equally, the sector has buy-and-hold potential as well if you're that way inclined. And I'm talking now about the industrial resources. Elsewhere, I really, really do like the emerging markets story. I think emerging markets will have better growth than developed country markets, and not least because of this synchronized global economic recovery that we're seeing right now, which I expect to continue. Even if there's a slowdown in the US, I don't think it'll be severe enough to tip the economy into recession. I don't really think that's a near-term risk at all. So synchronized growth in a somewhat inflationary environment overall. Read Richard Green on that subject today. Now, against that background, and as I said in my comment, emerging markets will certainly experience some inflation, but they'll also get far more earnings growth, assuming that these countries remain reasonably governed. And I don't have any doubts about that. As far as India is concerned, and some of my other favorites. So I'm going to stick with my big overweight position in resources and my big overweight position in Asian markets, particularly emerging markets, with my favorite of all being India. And I'm gradually shifting the weighting, which had been 60-40 in favor of resources over the stock markets, to say mostly in Asia. I'm gradually shifting that weighting so it'll be more 50-50, and at some stage it may go more heavily in favor of the Asian markets overall. And I've got a fair accumulation of cash, which I have been able to build mainly from previous trading over the last 3 years. And I'm looking for buying opportunities as and when we get that correction. I don't think we'll see much of a correction in China, for instance, largely because that lagged for so long. And a market like Vietnam that I like, you'll see three Vietnam funds in the chart library. I think that's unlikely to come back a great deal. And overall, though, say I'm inclined to sit on a fair amount of that cash and for the next few months at any rate, just to see what sort of correction we get, if at all. So I'll be policy of safe rather than sorry, I hope this will be. And if I miss some opportunity because I'm a little bit too cautious, well, so be it. One can always go in, back in at a later date, and there are always plenty of opportunities in markets, for certain, but I'm a bit risk averse here at this time. I like the whole emerging market story, resources, emerging markets, and emerging markets. That's a theme that overlaps quite a bit, so there's a logic there. And among the developed country markets, I like most of all at Japan and South Korea. Both had had long secular bear markets where they just ranged sideways, mostly in the case of South Korea, downwards in Japan, for the most part due to the deflationary pressures in that economy. And they're in secular bull markets here, which could run for a good many years. But again, I'm looking for or waiting, and just in case we do see some further pullbacks before increasing my weighting in Japan and commencing investing in the South Korean market. In government bonds, I've said for quite some time that I felt that the secular bull market ended in June 2006, and I'm really only interested in shorting. The best short opportunities occur when technical rallies beneath these big overhanging top formations and bond prices show signs of waning. But I have been leveraging up on this weakness that we've seen recently in a speculative play because I've been able to do that with a little bit of cushion of profit, or at least risk reduction, with some trailing stops in the positions that I had established earlier. As far as my trading portfolio is concerned, to digress here for a moment from that big long-term theme, the risk that I'm taking is one of volatility because I've leveraged up a number of positions, And you say, well, gosh, that's risky, isn't it? Well, I want to control that risk and make it very manageable and indeed attractive. But the what I'm hoping is that we don't get too much volatility, which would shake me out of those stops. But if I get lucky, and luck means that we have trends that are not so volatile and just persist for a while longer, then it'll be a highly profitable strategy, and it's something that veteran subscribers will have seen me do before on a number of occasions. Okay, so government bonds, I would not get sucked into that area. We have an inflationary environment overall. We're not going to get deflation anytime soon, at least across the board deflation. We have deflationary pockets, such as in manufacturing, due to the China factor, and also in some service areas where services can be moved away from the customer base. Call centers is would be a classic example. And I do expect interest rates to be government, long-dated interest rates to rise in a jagged trend over the long term. And that will eventually cause some problems for stock markets, but not too much in the short term. US dollar, I think it's really well, I've said it over and over again. I think it peaked back in November on the US dollar index and is going to be on its way back down, but interest rate differentials are very much in its favor at the moment. And although most of that is discounted, we must not overlook the fact that no country wants a strong currency. And so when a country does find itself subjected to currency strength for a medium-term period, they take defensive action to weaken the currency. No, notice what New Zealand has done, for instance, with some considerable success. So that will be a recurring phenomenon. The strong currency is like the hot potato that everybody tries to pass on to the other currencies, and that's understandable. And you can bet that for all that talk, well, that we haven't heard too much about this lately in the U.S., talk about official talk about a strong dollar policy, that's done with a little bit of a Cheshire cat grin in here. So don't believe it. I'm convinced that the U.S. wants a weaker dollar to be able to generate a bit more growth. And it's very easy for a country to weaken its currency, you just increase the supply. And we've seen plenty of that, and that's part of the liquidity that has lifted all boats, although not government bonds recently, because the inflationary pressures are being recognized a little bit more. And also, Asian investors are saying, well, wait a minute, things are really improving in our sector. This is not just a temporary phenomenon. And so the temptation, interest in repatriating capital is growing all the time. Now, the resources area I have sort of briefly covered, but I think precious metals are going to go much, much higher. They'll do it in a jagged fashion, or if they don't, then we get bigger medium-term corrections, but I would expect it to be. It's been a case of a step up and then some ranging activity, then another step up, but trends tend to steepen a bit as bull trend cycles mature, because they're recognized by more people. So that means less selling pressure and more new demand coming into play. So the gold trend has noticeably steepened uptrend, that is, and also for silver, these have notably steepened since last September when gold broke upwards out of trading ranges against most of the world's currencies. Up to that point, it had been dismissed as primarily a dollar story, although it had been edging up against other currencies as well. But suffice it to say, I expect precious metals to go a whole lot higher in a jagged fashion over the next many years. And ditto energy. I've never bought this back to $40 or below argument. This is another secular bull market, classic supply-demand inelasticity meets rising demand situation. Perhaps not quite so marked as it is for industrial metals and perhaps precious metals, but nevertheless, it's still we have the situation where the demand for energy is going to grow at a rate that surprises most people, at least while the global economy remains synchronized in a growth phase, and I think it will remain in that situation for a number of years now. And I think it would take some sort of exogenous accident to change that trend. And soft commodities, I haven't been paying as much attention to those recently, so I'll defer on that until I can do a little bit more research. And again, big themes, don't be too over-leveraged here in stock markets right now due to seasonal factors. Government bonds, best I can see, are technical rallies. In terms of currencies, I think the dollar is really on its way back down, but the biggest part of that drop will occur once we have seen the peak in US interest rates, and that hasn't occurred yet. And industrial resources, a strategy that I have and others have employed with some considerable success in here, is to buy the reactions. Again, secular bull market for those industrial resources. And that's it, folks. Have an absolutely splendid weekend.